All right, everybody, welcome back. You didn't get enough of me earlier in the 11 o'clock hour. I'm back here at 12:06. Trevor Sarton and Caleb Brian Davis is actually up in the studio right now with me. He brought a little Thanksgiving surprise for you.
I did. This is quote unquote the special Thanksgiving edition of Bobcat Radio. And you know, we always talk about what makes KTSW so awesome to work at. And one of those things is that this is an educational opportunity, and it's an opportunity to get real-world experience on doing these things. So we've got the opportunity to play some things like what we've got coming up next for you guys right here. This is it's a class that I believe it's the title of it is strictly Sports as News.
Yep, I think so.
And it's some guys that are in there that are just doing some awesome things in that class right now. They put this together, but we did want to make this a part of our Thanksgiving edition of Bobcat Radio. So without any further ado, here we go.
I'm Sam Eisenberg with Marvin Parker Jr., and today we're going to look at the state of Bobcat athletics and what we're calling State of the State at State. We spoke with officials in the athletic department, faculty members, current and former Bobcat athletes, and Texas State students to compile information about a few key topics regarding Texas State athletics. A few months ago, it looked like the Texas State football program was on the brink of going from transitioning to the FBS level to competing for a conference championship at the FBS level. Coming off a 7-5 season in which the Bobcats were the only 7-win FBS team to not be invited to a bowl, it seemed like the Bobcats would come into this season hungrier than ever to prove that they're worthy of that bowl consideration. Instead, the team has sputtered in Dennis Franchione's fifth season and will suffer the first losing season since 2012. I'll invite Marvin Parker Jr. Now, Marvin, was it wrong for us as students, faculty members, etc., to place a bowl game or bust expectation on this year's football team?
Not at all. I mean, after last year's winning season, everyone expected it, and especially me being a senior. I expected it. Everyone wanted it. Yeah, we lost, I think, 5 people to the draft, 3 on the defensive end and a punter, I think, which is very, very big. But all that said, everyone thought we kind of got gypped last year. Everyone expected it this year. For the first time in a while, it just seemed like things were going to come together this year. And why they haven't, it's a big question mark.
And maybe we can accredit it. We have to give the team some credit. They've had 13 season-ending injuries. It was a very top-heavy schedule. Houston, I mean, obviously is a good program. Florida State, top 20 in the nation, national champs a few years ago. Those were games you expected to lose. But then you get the cupcake, or what looked like a cupcake middle, with New Mexico State, with Georgia State, with Idaho, back-to-back-to-back. And it seems like the Cats had a chance to really push it forward and get bowl eligible again, but the wheels fell off in the middle of the season.
No, they definitely did. And then you drop the ball to Southern Miss at home. That's a close one in a thriller of a game. And you try to pinpoint why, where, how, and when. Some things are just better. What am I trying to say? Better left unsaid. Maybe. I mean, who knows what happened, to be specific? But a change should come. And whatever the change needs to be, it should happen soon, because the Bobcats are right there.
And I know that I spoke with some alumni, and they had high hopes coming into this season. And we were returning Tyler Jones, Robert Lowe, two key cogs in the Bobcat offense, which seemed to be the bright spot coming into this year. And now the offense has been fine. That hasn't been the problem. One of the worst statistical defenses in the nation has really set the Cats back this year. And when you lose a game 56-50, and when you can't seem to even stop a nosebleed, that can really make it difficult to win football games, even in the Sun Belt Conference. But coming into this year, how could we have expected anything different? When you look back in the past of Bobcat athletics and the two major sports, football and men's basketball, Texas State has been plagued with mediocrity and sub-500 seasons for the past 30 years. The Bobcats have had only 7 winning seasons in football, and I can't pick the number in basketball, but it can't be many in basketball over the past 30 years. The last NCAA basketball tournament the Bobcats made was in 1997. We're approaching 20 years without a conference championship in basketball. And since athletic director Larry Tice took over in 2004, the Bobcats have had 4 winning seasons in football. One of them didn't result in a bowl. One of them was a Division I AA semifinal appearance, and the Bobcats are near break-even overall in his tenure. it's like the Dallas Cowboys of a few years ago when you go 8-8 4 years in a row. That is the definition of mediocrity when you're simply just hung in this win one, lose one balance. And so no winning seasons under Larry Tice from the basketball program, zero. And that's one of the two biggest money sports, if you will, at a college campus. Those are numbers that are very staggering. So in today's day and age, Marvin, it seems like coaches and athletic directors are on a shorter leash than ever before, but it seems like maybe our people at the top are kind of just skating by.
It comes down to want to. It's how bad the school wants to win from top down. It trickles down, but it starts out at the top. It starts at both ends, really. You need to meet in the middle. Like you said, mediocrity. Basically, Texas State hasn't been very relevant since you and I have been educated. And that's tragic that we can say, I mean, back when I was in high school, Texas State wasn't really on my map. 4 hours south from Dallas, it should be on my map. This school recently became a D1 school. It's big time. It really is. It has everything else other than sports. And it just trickles down to how bad they want to be good at sports. Because like you said, people are on a shorter leash at other schools. It's because they understand what drives revenue, what drives attention. Because everything needs to be about academics, obviously. We're a university. It needs to be about the books. But to get people here, sometimes it's about the other stuff, you know? And it's just about want to.
Since both of us got here, the Bobcats have only made one NCAA tournament, and it was in volleyball a few years ago when the Cats won the conference tournament, went and lost to Texas in the NCAA tournament. But that was a great season. It looked like the volleyball team might have had a chance this year, fell a little short, but that's been a bright spot. But in your two big-time sports of football and men's basketball, Bobcats have been coming up short in the recent years. But one of the bright spots in the past decade was that 2005 team that competed at the Division I AA level that made the semifinals. And amid the struggles of the Bobcat football team from this season, that was one of the most successful teams in program history. And they recently returned to San Marcos for a 10-year reunion at one of the football games. And Bobcat Radio's own P.J. Taberge has more.
Although they fell short of the ultimate prize, the players of that 2005 Bobcat football team gave something truly special to Bobcat fans and kept for themselves a special bond that can never be taken away. They lost a national semifinal game to Northern Iowa in overtime, but their 11 victories made for a dream season. We caught up with one of the stars of that team, slot receiver and Wildcat specialist Chase Wasson. Wasson said that what made the team special was that a lot of guys checked their egos at the door. Quarterback Barrick Neely led the team. Wasson said when Neely got hot, he was a man among boys. When he would take over a game, it was truly special to watch. As it relates to the 2015 Bobcats, Wasson said he thinks highly of head coach Dennis Franchione and that if the Bobcats can continue to breed excitement around the program, they'll find their success. However, that sentiment isn't felt amongst all members of the 05 reunion team. One player I spoke with said, and I quote, "Texas State is one of those programs where the potential, as far as recruiting goes, should be through the roof. But from a coaching standpoint, they don't pay the greatest, and it's a culture that will accept members of the good old boys club. That winning culture from top to bottom is gone." End quote. On a brighter note, Chase Wasson says he remains close to Neely and the other members of that team. He says the one thought that summarizes him and his teammates today is, "I'm a Bobcat for life, that's for sure." For Bobcat Radio, I'm P.J. Taberge.
And that was awesome right there. You heard a lot of good points, man, that little segment right there. And a few things that stood out to me personally, old traditions become irrelevant here at Texas State. And how cool would it have been to watch that team back then with all that success in my 4 years? It would have been priceless. Because now, I mean, I have four great years to think about, but slightly forgettable. Things like Freddie Steinmark at UT or any old tradition at Clemson, they're reminded of that every time they walk out that tunnel. And like you heard it right there, he said he's forever a Bobcat. And I think that's awesome. But I don't know if people here necessarily feel that right now. And that's where time gets lost, tragically lost. But a few things right there, coaches' pay and recruiting were hit on too. Two things that are kind of missing at Texas State, but very good points that were made in that.
Yeah, and a lot of people thought Fran was brought in here because he'd coached at Alabama, he'd coached at A&M, and he could recruit high-level talent. And that really hasn't been the case thus far since making the transition. The highest Texas State has ranked in a recruiting class in the Sun Belt Conference is third. That was their 2013 ranking, according to 247sports.com. And this past year, Bobcats were 91st in the nation. There's 128 FBS teams, fourth in the Sun Belt Conference, but they were actually behind Georgia Southern and Appalachian State, two teams who just made the transition. We were behind them in 2015, our ranking with the class that's the freshman now. We had the fifth best class in the Sun Belt. We had 7 3-star recruits from that class. The four teams ahead of us in the Sun Belt all had 12-plus 3-star recruits. So we're missing five, nearly half of one side of the ball, either a defense or an offense, the number of 3-star recruits compared to these other teams in the Sun Belt. And eventually that's going to catch up to Coach Fran and the staff, don't you think?
I think it will drastically and definitely so, and especially with recruiting. I mean, Texas State's one of the most beautiful campuses I've seen, prime location. Socially, ethnically, you can't not find anything here. What does Texas State not have to offer is what I'm missing out, because recruiting should be one of the easiest things you think of.
Right, and like you said, Louisiana Lafayette in our conference, they have that atmosphere. They have a winning tradition. Four straight New Orleans Bowls. They have a really fun atmosphere at their football stadium. I could see their pitch to recruit people. But here at Texas State, it's such a prime location, like you said. You get to be a part of potentially something really historic at this university, being a part of that first bowl game. Texas is often thought of as the hotbed of recruits in the whole nation. Texas pulls the most Division I athletes of anyone, and granted,
we should be right there with the best of them.
Right, right. There's really no excuse, and when you're falling behind teams like Georgia Southern, Appalachian State, Louisiana Lafayette, year after year, you have to think, what pitch is Coach Fran and this staff making to get recruits to come to Texas State?
And that's exactly where my question marks get big in my head, because it's like you said, the tops are the tops. You know, you can't expect to be leading in everything, but when the bottoms pass you, that's when it's like, what's going on here? And to put one finger on it, who knows? I sure don't have the answer.
Bobcat Radio's own Avery Schneider caught up with a Texas State volleyball player to see what it was about Texas State that made her come to campus. And he caught up with head men's basketball coach Danny Casper and got his thoughts on how the culture of the basketball program's changing and what he's doing to get recruits here.
Texas State hasn't been known lately for winning teams outside of volleyball and baseball, but recent success isn't everything to all prospective college athletes. Texas State volleyball player Claire Kreitz says she was recruited on geography and education that San Marcos and Texas State has to offer.
They recruited me on like the river running through campus. Like with Texas State, communications is really good here, and so they sold me on that, and that's my major. Just like the square and everything around.
Texas State's basketball season just started, and men's coach Danny Casper admits that when he took over the program, they were struggling. But he is excited about this season and getting a third year with his recruits.
This program was struggling when I got here, and that first year was rough, but then we took a step last year. I'm not going to say it wasn't a giant step, but it was a step up. And like I said, now it's time to take another step up. 8 wins, 14 wins, my goal is 18 to 20 wins this year.
Texas State has beautiful surroundings in San Marcos and high-quality academics. Until winning becomes a tradition, the classroom and the river might remain the only bragging points in the recruiting sales pitch. For Bobcat Radio, I'm Avery Schneider.
Another awesome piece right there. So you get a sense and a taste of an idea of what they're selling with the river, with focusing on whatever that student athlete is trying to focus on academically in college, because we have everything to sell them on. Like biggest school in Sun Belt Conference, a lot of things to add on to recruiting. And then Danny Casper, head basketball coach, talked about how he came in to change the culture, and the culture needs to be changed, and it's changing. So there's positives in everything, like right there, as we saw. And you know, another thing in PJ's piece we saw was coaches pay. That's another interesting point.
Yeah, to shift back to recruiting real quick, San Marcos, fastest growing city in the United States 3 years in a row, and this campus, Texas State University, like you said, biggest school as far as enrollment goes in the Sun Belt Conference. With Austin and San Antonio right here, there's internships available for these student athletes. It's a great spot. Once you graduate from this school, you have to think, man, I can get a job from here easily. I mean, it's going to be a great education, and it's right here in such a booming part of one of the, I mean, best states to live in. That might be a little biased there, but that's how you have to think if you're a recruit. To shift to coaches' pay, that's a big point that PJ Story brought up, because to get the top-level talent of a coach in today's day and age, when coaches are celebrities, basically, they are the face of your program, because in college it's not necessarily about the kids, because they can't be marketed as well. It's about the coaches. Seven figures, $1 million seems to be the threshold for what it takes to get a top-level talent, and that's what UIL is dishing out, $1,050,000 to their head coach, and it's paid off. Four straight bowl victories, and Fran's average salary ranks seventh in the Sun Belt Conference, $425,000 a year. Is that competitive enough to get Texas State the coach it needs to really recruit at a high level?
It's not. Not in this day and age. Throwing it back to Wu-Tang, cash rules everything around me. You know, that's what drives it, tragically, and that's what it's going to cost. You might want to find it in other areas, but at the end of the day, you know, money's going to talk, and money's going to get you there.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have Amanda Gibson, a fellow student here at Texas State University, and she will weigh in on her thoughts on how the Texas State Athletic Marketing Department is doing. We'll be right back on Bobcat Radio.
And welcome back to the KTSW studio. Caleb Ryan Davis here. And no, you guys out there are not dreaming right now. This is a very special episode of Bobcat Radio. We're bringing you a very special segment by Marvin Parker Jr. and Sam Eisenberg. They're doing a great job here. Of course, once again, this is the special Thanksgiving edition of Bobcat Radio. Stay tuned, guys, and keep it right here on KTSW 89.9.
Sam Eisenberg and Marvin Parker Jr. back with you on Bobcat Radio. So like we were saying before we went to break, let's talk a little bit about the marketing of Texas State Athletics. As students, sometimes it's difficult even to know when the time of the game is unless you take the responsibility upon yourself. The marketing department, there's no T-shirts for the specific game day. There's simple things. There's no pep rally anymore. There's not even a drumline presence on the quad. Simple stuff that we've talked about that the marketing department can do just to get awareness and support of Bobcat Athletic drummed up a little bit sooner. And Mike Kikarilla, the director of broadcasting for the San Antonio Spurs, he told me, he said, and I quote, "I can't begin to count how many times I've witnessed or experienced subpar engagement from those orchestrating the athletic department from both a media and a fan standpoint." And I just think that's inexcusable.
It is inexcusable. And we are Texas State, so it's not like you're going to have a midnight yell like A&M. Some traditions will be bigger than others because we're not A&M and UT and all those schools. But little things like having a banner out on the quad with Tyra Jones' face on it. Because I did a report early on in the year for a different class, and I interviewed like 10 to 15 people, and maybe three of them would have recognized Tyra Jones if he walked past them. You can go to any other school, small, big, medium, in between. If their quarterback walks past them, they're going to know who he is. And little things like that, it multiple range of things lack as far as students' opinions goes on Texas State marketing.
Right, and like we said, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. It's simple stuff they can do, but definitely you have to have each program, you feel like you got to have that one guy who you see his face and you know him, and then it can make the student team interaction a little bit better when you go, "Hey, I think that's Tyler Jones. That's the quarterback."
And
right
it was there with Arakpo, but Arakpo's gone.
Right.
It needs to have a carryover. Even if it's a coach, like we said earlier, how coaches are celebrities, even if it's a coach, somebody has to have a face of the team every year.
Right, and Bobcat game day atmosphere is something that a lot of people have talked about, that maybe it's lacking and it isn't where it possibly could be.
And I actually sat down with Assistant Athletic Director of Development Josh Wittenberg, and he held on a few things like marketing and attendance and stuff like that. We think of Texas State not being where it needs to be, and it might be. Because from a front office standpoint, Texas State has been drastically improving in numbers. And Wittenberg even said 4 years ago, student attendance at football games was something like 1,500. And now it's closer to 5,000 and 6,000. You know, so there's drastic improvement. He even said from the Bobcat Club, in its opening year a few years ago, they had, in the first inaugural year, there was like 6 members. And now there's 600 members. And so some of these things we won't see the effects of until we won't see tangible effects of from maybe 10 years. It could be 10 years until we actually see Bobcat Stadium filled, until we actually see Strand Coliseum filled, you know, for basketball and volleyball, until we see the softball and baseball stadiums packed. So there's carryover with everything, and everything has its pros and cons, but as far as a numbers game goes, with my interview with Wittenberg, Texas State has been improving.
And one thing we were talking about is just the game day atmosphere in general and how it can be improved through little things. And one of our fellow Bobcat Radio reporters actually did a story on Bobcat game day atmosphere. So let's take a listen to that now.
Game day. Each fall, game day gets universities, fans, and student-athletes fired up for college football. From the preparation to stepping into Bobcat Stadium, Texas State has its own version of game day. But many fans have different opinions about the game day atmosphere in San Marcos. In the Bobcats' first home game of the season against Prairie View A&M, almost 25,000 fans created a great atmosphere. 6 weeks and four losses later, only about 15,000 fans showed up. And it was homecoming. One thing that affects the game day atmosphere and could be keeping some seats in the student section empty is overall awareness of the game. When I asked 30 students about how well the university prepped the campus for game days, many said that awareness was one area that could use improvement. Texas State student Susanna Melendez is a Bobcat Club member and said that if the university as a whole was more excited about games, it would boost the atmosphere around campus and San Marcos. Students and fans want an exciting atmosphere on game day so they can experience college football at its best. It's clear that there are different opinions about the game day atmosphere in San Marcos, and now that the next home football game is more than 9 months away, it's an opportunity to iron out the kinks. For Bobcat Radio, I'm Shannon Carrico.
Great piece from Shannon there. I want to thank her for that. But one thing that we were saying could make attendance a little better is the sale of alcohol at the games. There's 5 universities in Texas that do it and 5 in the Sun Belt that do it. UT does it now. UTSA, UTEP, Houston, North Texas. And then in the Sun Belt, Lafayette, Monroe, Troy, Georgia State, and South Alabama all sell alcohol at the games. And right now the problem is tailgate's packed. I mean, there's kids out there by the carloads, but then they're not making that short walk over to the stadium and coming in. And, you know, it's a change that maybe wouldn't be too difficult to implement. But right now when we got a comment from Athletic Director Larry Tice, his only response to that question was the university had no plans at this time to explore or discuss that option. And why do you think that is?
I have no idea. When I also talked with Josh Wittenberg, he said there's no plan or anything for that cause of action. And why it is, I mean, it could be things like we don't necessarily have the biggest student turnout at football games, so it's kind of like you spend this money to get that going. Are you really going to make profit? Who knows? It could be probably not, honestly, but maybe just the idea of it. Because like you said, tailgate, sadly, tailgate is a tradition at Texas State. We're known as more of that kind of tailgating school. And I hear of there's possible plans to extend the tailgating region. Maybe a bigger tailgating area could help in a sense, and Texas State wouldn't have to spend a lot of money on that. But, I mean, I think it's a great idea. Do I personally think the sale of alcohol will improve it? I honestly think more on the end of no, but it's almost an idea that you need to look into because everyone seems to be doing it.
With us in the studio now, senior PR major Amanda Gibson. Amanda got a chance to sit down with the head of the athletic marketing department, Brian Miller. She also got to speak with a marketing professional on campus and some students in the marketing department. So, Amanda, what was your biggest takeaway in sitting down with Brian Miller?
My biggest takeaway would be his confidence. He seemed like he had a really good strategic plan for marketing. He spoke about how they've gotten freshmen in on Bobcat Preview and really work to let them know the traditions and game atmosphere, how they've tried to incorporate alumni, and how they're really trying to get students on campus that may not be freshmen into our games and into our stadium to help with bowl eligibility.
The marketing professional you spoke with seemed to have a different take. What were some of their thoughts?
The marketing professional that I spoke with really seemed to have this planned out with all the research that this person had done, and their thoughts really contrasted the confidence that Brian Miller had, because this person really broke down what exactly would happen. And the first step would be to get really concise strategies in marketing. Second, this person really stressed the importance of getting better contracts on our licensing, so that way the students on campus can have spirit and can be wearing our shirts and our logo as opposed to walking on campus and seeing UT, Alabama, LSU. We need to build that school pride in our students.
and the person or people you talked to, what was one thing that they said they would do differently if they were the ones making decisions?
I think the first thing they would do is try and find a way to get your students from tailgate, because we have such a big turnout. And I've heard a lot of students throughout my research of doing this project really make jokes about, oh, the Texas State football tradition is tailgate. So really trying to find a way to close that gap, and you're already at tailgate. How are we going to get you into the stadium so that way we can help with attendance for our bowl eligibility and so our players feel supported at this school?
You said you spoke to some marketing students as well about their thoughts on how the athletic program does. Can you share what they had to say?
I think that a lot of students feel that Texas State is really growing in sports, although we may not be getting this many wins or losses, but we're growing as a program and more people are noticing us for different reasons, athletics being one of them. So students are, you know, getting frustrated too, but they don't really have this grasp on where do we start? Does it start with a new head coach? Does it start with a new team? Or does it really start with their attendance? So I think if we could stress how important attendance is for everyone in this, you know, realm, whether it's volleyball, football, basketball, attendance is huge in order for our athletes to feel the success and support that they need to go where we want them to go.
Everything you concluded with, what was one positive takeaway that you got from talking to the people you talked to?
So one positive thing that they all seem to agree on, from marketing to the pros that are outside of the marketing department, is that for the first time in a good while, students are coming to Texas State because this is where they want to be and because they have that, you know, school pride in Texas State, not because they were rejected by their first and second choices, so this was their default plan. And I think that's huge, and I think that our marketing department can really just build off of that, and it can only grow from where we are now.
Amanda Gibson, some good perspective, some good research, some good interviews. We appreciate the time.
Thank you for having me.
Sam Eisenberg, Marvin Parker, back with more Bobcat Radio in just a minute.
And welcome back to the KTSW studio. Caleb Ryan Davis here once again to bring you the state of state. Once again, it's a look inside where Texas State Athletics is at right now. Once again, produced by Larry Carlson Sports' news class. Sam Eisenberg and Marvin Parker, your hosts for that right now. But real quick, I wanted to give you a look at what's going on out there in the 78666 right now. Of course, it's 57 degrees. Today, we're going to have a high of 60, and tonight, a low of 44, partly cloudy all day long. Once again, this is the special Thanksgiving episode of Bobcat Radio, and coming up right here on Bobcat Radio, the final segment of the State of State. Now back to Sam Eisenberg and Marvin Parker.
Sam Eisenberg, Marvin Parker Jr. back with you on Bobcat Radio. We got a chance to sit down with some alumni who work in a sports-related field, and we got to hear their sentiments on the state of the program as a whole and individual coaches and the athletic director and their thoughts on their job. One of the first we sat down with was Mark Sanders, the director of national sales for CBS Radio in Texas. He's been a Bobcat Club member for 6 years, and he had a very interesting take on the state of Larry Tice's job.
You know, if I were to do my job, and I were to get worse, you know, marginally better than worse, and then, you know, people get fired for doing that.
We also spoke with Will Butler, who's the assistant manager at UnderdogDynasty.com. He is the beat writer for Texas State, and he talked about how fragile this Texas State fan base is and that it could take some change and just some more energy within the program to really get the ship sailing the right direction for Texas State athletics.
The thing that really is standing out to me as to why Texas State could use a change in leadership, both at athletic director and at head coach, is just because there's just this lack of energy around the program. There's this lack of energy among the fan base. And this is a very fragile fan base.
And finally, we sat down with senior writer at 247sports.com, Jeff Howe. He covers the Texas Longhorns now, and he said he really wants to see change at the top. He had a dynamic quote. As an alum, here were his thoughts.
This athletic department, period, has been in a state of mediocrity for a decade, and the fact that it's just allowed to continue by him still having a job signals to me as an alum that I'm not going to really waste my breath or time or effort or energy caring, because nobody up there cares. I mean, not that I don't care, because I do, but that's the impression that it gives off when a guy like Larry Tice is still allowed to be employed after all this time.
The bottom line is Texas State now has solidified the fact that it will be a losing season in football. The basketball program has been in a dire shape for the past decade plus, and so let's shift our focus to the future, Marvin. What does it look like to be a Texas State Bobcat?
Yeah, you know, everything that's happened has happened. The only thing we don't know is what's yet to come. You know, there was a $1 million donation from the Dippin' Horse family, so you'll see facilities get better than they already are. Our facilities are good. And one thing I know we were looking at is improving on Strand Coliseum. That's one thing I've heard. So, and the Bobcat State or football, baseball stadium and softball stadiums. So there's a lot of things yet to come as far as facilities structurally goes at Texas State. But the schedule, like you say, it looks bright on the basketball side. Soccer is always competitive. Volleyball is always competitive. Softball and baseball are competitive for the most part. So football will get there. Recruiting is the next step for Texas State football. But I'm just anxious to see what everything looks like a year from now as an alumni.
It should be an interesting and fun 2016 when spring football starts to see if the excitement's drummed up. And then next football season, I think it's a make-or-break year for the Bobcats and especially for the Dennis Franchione era. There's a lot of people who believe in them. There's a lot of people who don't. And I think next year is going to be really telling. Well, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks for joining us on this program, State of the State at State. For Marvin Parker Jr., I'm Sam Eisenberg. Thanks for joining us.
All right, and welcome back to the KTSW studio. Once again, Caleb Ryan Davis here, here to kind of bring you your special Thanksgiving edition of Bobcat Radio. I did want to thank everyone for joining us today. I want to thank Trevor Sarton, Miracle Robinson, and Eddie Lerma for coming on the show today, producing today's Bobcat Radio. We will not have another episode of Bobcat Radio this week, but we will be back next Monday with the Monday episode once again. So thank you guys so much for joining us. Now back to the music. Coming up next is Telling Myself by Shannon and the Clams.